Consider certainties. In life, there may be few, but in the plan of God, there are some things that must happen. Every race must have a winner. Every word of Scripture must be fulfilled. Indeed, there are some things we can and must be sure of. This was true for Jesus, and it's true for you and me. Open your heart and mind to the word must, and stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer broadens our vision as he brings part two of his message on the things that must come to pass. As we listen, we're considering the musts that surrounded the cross of Christ.
It was necessary that his garment be taken and that they might cast lots for it. Why? That the scripture might be fulfilled. It was necessary that Judas betray Christ. Why? Jesus said in John 17 that the scripture might be fulfilled. It was necessary that when the soldiers came to Jesus when he was dying there, that they did not break any of his bones, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him will be broken. It went according to the plan. No wonder Jesus said in John 17, he said, "Father, the hour is come." Three times previously in the book of John, it says they could not take him because his hour was not yet come. Now his hour came. He was immune from their ability to kill him until his hour came. So I want you to notice that his betrayal and the details regarding his death, not just the fact of it, but the details regarding it, those also were necessary. His resurrection was necessary. Turn to John chapter 20 now. John chapter 20. I want you to notice that the tomb is empty. It is what we call Resurrection Sunday. And Peter and John are hurrying to the tomb, and John is a faster runner than Peter. And John gets there first, but Peter is the one who lags behind. But when Peter gets there, he does what only Peter would probably do. He hops into the tomb, and he sees there the face cloth, verse 7, which had been on his head, lying with the linen wrappings rolled up in a place by itself. Verse 8, he entered in therefore, he and the other disciple also who had first come to the tomb, and he saw and he believed. I guess eventually both of them were there in the tomb. I thought I had read this last night. Perhaps I misread it. But at any rate, here's the text that we are interested in. Verse 9. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And we could go on. We could go on to show that Christ's present reign in heaven is driven by necessity. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:25, for he must reign until all of his enemies be made his footstool. He must reign. Well, we've encompassed a lot of different musts. We left some of them out, but I want you to get the point. The Jesus Christ life was like that symphony written in heaven, now played out upon the common warp and woof of his own earthly experience. Everything was driven by necessity. But now let's reflect and ask, what kind of necessity drove Christ? Was it logical necessity? No, it wasn't that. Very few things are driven by logical necessity. It's not like 2 + 2 = 4. Was it the necessity of obligation in the sense that I need to pay my bills in the very same way Jesus had to do it because, after all, we were in trouble and we were worth so much that he had to do it? I think this is where many theories of self-image go wrong. The impression is that we were so valuable, so very valuable, that Jesus really had no choice because our value was so high on the heavenly Dow Jones Industrial Average that he could do nothing other than to buy some of our stock, so to speak. Actually, what the Bible teaches is quite the opposite, that there was really nothing in us that would have merited such a payment. In fact, that's what grace is really all about. It is because we were unworthy. And I like the words of Martin Luther. Christ does not love us because we are valuable, says Luther. But rather, we are valuable because he loves us. It is a conferred value. So it was not driven by obligation, as we normally think of obligation. Are all of these musts in the life of Christ simply the must of duty? Perhaps, yes, if we look at it in a narrow sense of his duty to do the Father's will. What about the must of necessity? Or rather, I should say, not the must of necessity, but the necessity of purpose. That also is a part of it, because God is doing something and God is accomplishing his will. But now I want you to think of it this way. Here we have a whole series of musts, like a series of dominoes, that once the decision was made that Christ would come, this followed and that followed, and all followed with these musts. Question: what drives the whole series? What is the ultimate factor that drove Christ to be willing to fulfill the Father's will, to accomplish the Father's purpose? I would like to think that the overriding must, and all of these may contribute to it, is the necessity that is imposed simply by love, by love. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were enemies, Christ died, because love has its own necessity. It has its own musts. I remember reading a story about a woman whose husband committed adultery. He left the marriage, and as so often happens, he ended up divorcing this wife and marrying the other one with whom he was going to live happily ever after. At least that's the plan. So within time, this man had children by his second wife, and when he had cancer, and knowing that the wife who bore him his children was incompetent, he asked his former wife if she would adopt these children that he had by his second marriage so that they could have a stable, loving home. And this dear woman, bless her, said yes and loved those children and brought them up as if they were her own. Now that's the way love is. I must bring up these children. I must love them. Regardless of the past, regardless of the hurt, regardless of how they came into this world, love is filled with a sense of necessity, even if that love is not reciprocal, even if it does not come back. Love sometimes just loves. And that's why the Bible says that God even loves his enemies who have no intention of loving him back. Love just is. Let me ask you this question. What is it ultimately, the end of the day, that held Christ on the cross? Why did we read from the book of Matthew that he must go to Jerusalem, and then he goes to Jerusalem and he comes to the city at the very time that he and the Father agreed that he would die? What is it that's going on there in the text? Is it because of the overwhelming power of the chief priests and Jesus was a helpless victim? He was a victim, but not a helpless victim. No, it was not the chief priest. Was it the Romans? After all, because of their power, they captured him and they held him. And those Roman soldiers with crude nails nailed him on that cross. Is that what held him there? No. Jesus said, I lay down my life of myself. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself because love is driven by necessity. I must go to Jerusalem because I would die for sinners and redeem them. Which leads me to a question. Why did you come to church today? What kind of necessity? Why did you wake up and say today, I must be there? Well, you say it's the must of obligation. You had a Sunday school class to teach. The must of expectation. Some of your friends expect you to be there. And if not, they're going to find out where you were. And you'd rather just be there so they wouldn't have to investigate. Is it the must of obligation, the must of duty? Oh, yes. You know, we're Christians and it's expected of us. Or is it the must that is driven by love, that says, I love him and I want to be with his people and where he is honored. I love him and that's why I am here. That is the highest kind of necessity. That is the most glorious must. Now, let's help ourselves. Let's reflect upon this theologically one more time and put these facts into some kind of perspective. And let me suggest to you three important lessons that grows out of our study of the scripture today. First of all, some of our musts are divinely appointed. They are divinely appointed. I've been reflecting on this all week. If it was part of the plan that Christ go to the cross, and surely it was. In fact, if we had time, I'd show you scriptures that say that it was predetermined by God's counsel. Might it not be that there are certain crosses that God brings to his people that they must endure? You say, well, if we prayed, the crosses would go. No, Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, my Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And the Father heard the prayer, it says in the book of Hebrews. And he even answered by raising Christ from the dead. But there was no way that Christ could avoid that big must that stood in his way. I must suffer. And I must die. And sometimes God gives his other sons crosses to bear too.
This is Pastor Lutzer. Yes, too often, particularly when we watch some people on television, we are told that when you believe in Jesus, everything should go well. If you have a cross, simply rebuke it. Well, Jesus had a cross, and he bore it. And the Bible says that unto us it is given not merely to believe in Jesus, but also to suffer for his name's sake. To be able to understand that there are some crosses God gives us that we must bear. Let's not fight against them, but accept them as the divine will.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've just heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of his message, Things That Must Come to Pass. Tomorrow, Dr. Lutzer concludes this thought-provoking message. Tune in as we consider that each of us faces the musts of God, the things he has decreed must be for us. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We believe this brief series will help you understand what really matters in life and in eternity. Our series on things can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. This is Dave McAllister. Call a friend, invite them to listen with you, and join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.